Study Unit 7, Healthcare. Discuss healthcare in South Africa as well as public and private healthcare. Section 27, 1A and 3 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa specifically mentions the right of everyone to have access to healthcare services, including reproductive healthcare, and the right to not to be refused emergency medical treatment. Healthcare in South Africa is characterized by a distinction between public and private provisioning. Private medical schemes are often linked to occupation in the formal sector and are governed by the Medical Schemes Act 131 of 1998. Public as well as private healthcare play important roles in every healthcare system. As a background to the study unit, you should note that South Africa's present healthcare system is known as a two-tier system as it comprises of two main components, namely the public and the private healthcare systems. Although the systems has a public component, meaning that the funding for this part of the system is provided by the government, the public system in South Africa is very limited and does not allow everyone in the country to have proper access to medical care. Why is it important to have a proper healthcare system? Well, a proper healthcare system is very important as healthy people can look for work, support themselves and their families, and contribute to society. On the other hand, sick people increase the burden on the country's social security system and the social assistance system in particular. Next, discuss the concept of healthcare and state what is the constitutional court stated in determining what amounts to a health life. Well, the World Health Organization defines health as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease. The Department of Health in South Africa regards health as more than simply the absence of disease. Health services encompassing promotive, preventative, and curative services, and the crucial role of environmental factors such as clean water and sanitation and education are recognized as fundamental to the improvement of the health status of individuals and populations. In determining what amounts to a health life, the Constitutional Court in Sombermani versus Minister of Health KwaZulu-Natal stated that a healthy life depends upon social interdependence, the quality of air, water, and sanitation which the state maintains for the public good, the quality of one's caring relationships, which are highly correlated to health, as well as the quality of healthcare and support furnished officially by medical institutions and provided informally by families, friends, and the community. Health is one of the 9 classical risks covered in the ILO Convention of 102 of 1952. Next, discuss the constitutional right to healthcare in South Africa. The South African Constitution entrenches a range of socio-economic rights, including the right to healthcare. Section 27 of the Constitution provides as follows. 1. Everyone has the right to have access to healthcare services, including reproductive health, sufficient food and water, and social security, including if they are unable to support themselves and their dependents, and appropriate social assistance. 2. The state must take responsible legislative and other measures within its available resources to achieve the progressive realization of each of these rights. 3. No one may be refused emergency medical treatment. However, Section 27 of the Constitution is not the only provision dealing with rights concerning health, as Section 12(2) provides everyone with the right to, amongst other things, bodily and psychological integrity, including the right to make decisions concerning reproduction and not to be subjected to medical or scientific experiments without their consent. Similarly, everyone has the right to an environment that is not harmful to their health. And everyone who is incarcerated by the state, including every sentenced prisoner, has a right to conditions of detention that are consistent with human dignity, including the provision at state expense of and of adequate medical treatment. It must be noted that there are also provisions or rights in the constitutions that have indirect bearing on the right to health care. These rights include, among other things, the right to equality, human dignity, life, housing, food, water, and social security. Next, discuss reform of the South African healthcare system. The African healthcare system. The overriding aim of health reform since 1994 has been to undo the effects of the past and to fulfill a promise made in the Constitution to build a democratic state founded on the values of human dignity, the achievement of equality, and the advancement of human rights and freedoms. Good health and access to healthcare services are essential for people's rights to dignity and are both core values of our Constitution. In April 1997, the government published its white paper for the transformation of the healthcare system in South Africa to improve health through achieving a new mission, goals, and objectives for the health sector. In terms of the white paper, in future, the national health system in this country should aim to provide caring and effective services through a primary healthcare approach. The white paper found that the main challenge was to establish an integrated health system and an effective referral system between the different levels of care. The objective is to ensure that most people enter the healthcare system at the primary care level, where they receive basic care and health education, and that more complicated healthcare services are dealt with by district and specialist hospitals. The most important reform in the area of healthcare in this regard include the introduction of the National Health Insurance Scheme in South Africa. The NHI, which is the National Health Insurance Scheme, will improve health service provision and healthcare delivery in this country. It will also make sure that all the people have access to affordable and quality healthcare services regardless of their employment status. Next, describe how the public healthcare system is funded and discuss the funding of the private healthcare system. The public healthcare system is funded by government through general taxation. The private healthcare system, on the other hand, is accessible to a restricted number of the South African population, mainly due to financial implications. Private healthcare in this country is funded through contributions made to medical aid schemes and which individuals become members in order to insure themselves against the risks of ill health. Membership of these medical aid schemes is generally based on the condition of employment. The main difference between the public and private healthcare systems is that the public healthcare system is funded through taxpayers' money, whilst the private healthcare system, individuals pay from their own pocket and insure themselves and their families by joining and making contributions to medical funds or medical aid schemes. Next, discuss Medical Schemes Act of 131 of 1998. Medical or health insurance is aimed at providing cover for the occurrence of a health risk, whether or not treatment is received. For example, the mere fact that a person is ill and unable to work will mean that he or she is entitled to the payment of a benefit. Medical insurance is governed by the Long-Term Insurance Act 52 of 1998 and the Short-Term Insurance Act 53 of 1998. Medical schemes work slightly differently. A member of a medical scheme, also commonly known as a medical aid scheme, is indemnified against the actual cost of the health service rendered. For example, if a person breaks an arm and is hospitalized, the medical scheme will pay the hospital fees. Medical schemes are regulated by the Medical Schemes Act 131 of 1998. Next, discuss the National Health Act of 2003. This act gives effect to Section 27(2) of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996, with regards to everyone's right to have access to healthcare services, including reproductive health, and Section 27(3), which provides that no one may be refused emergency medical treatment. It also protects and promotes children's rights to basic nutrition and basic healthcare services, guaranteed by Section 28(1)(c) of the Bill of Rights. The Act also sets out the rights and duties of healthcare providers, health workers, health institutions, and users. The user's rights include the right to fulfill knowledge of his or her health status, except where such disclosure could be contrary to the user's best interests, diagnostic procedures, and treatment options available to the user, and knowledge about the benefits, risks, costs, and consequences associated with each opinion, and the right to participate in any decision affecting his or her personal healthcare treatment. The user's rights include the right to full knowledge of his or her health status, except where such disclosure should be contrary to the user's best interests, diagnostic procedures and treatment options available to the user, and knowledge about the benefits, risks, costs, and consequences associated with each option, and the right to participate in any decision affecting his or her personal health and treatment. Next, discuss the Taylor Committee report on South Africa's healthcare system and mention the main recommendations made in the Taylor report. The Taylor Committee into a Social Security System for South Africa was appointed in 2002 to look at ways of making the overall social security system in South Africa more inclusive. Its brief included looking into the healthcare system. The following are the main recommendations made in the Taylor report. Government is primarily responsible for the healthcare system, which should be funded from tax revenue. There is, however, a need for a private sector to be involved. The private healthcare sector must be regulated by the state. The public healthcare system must maintain its role as the center of the overall health system. The public healthcare system must maintain its important role as a tertiary training ground for health personnel. A basic minimum group of essential benefits must be provided in the public and private sectors. Risk pooling should be explored, and three types were suggested, namely a universal benefit to be made available to everyone. This would be funded from a healthcare fund, subsidized from taxes. The present medical aid system to remain in place, and this would imply, however, that since the levies would increase, only high-income earners would be able to afford the costs involved. Membership would be voluntary, and people could belong to such schemes if they choose to do so. A state-sponsored medical scheme for low-income earners. This would be likely used by the informal sector or middle-income earners wishing to opt more cost-effective cover.